as we continue to talk more about the Browns and your chance to cruise with the Browns as well. Played for the Browns for 3 years at linebacker, pride of Wisconsin, probably the second most famous, 4 years, sorry, for 4 years for the Browns, and then probably the second most famous Brown from Wisconsin, right? Would you say that? Or you could be you're number one right now, I'll tell you that. Joe Schobert's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. That Joe Thomas, he just keeps getting in the way, doesn't he?
It's guys named Joe from Wisconsin. They like him.
Yeah, I was going to say, second most famous Joe from Wisconsin. I'll take that.
Fair enough. We'll put you in the Hall of Fame. We'll put the annex in the Hall of Fame in Canada. Does that work?
Yeah, I just need a little asterisk. That's all I need.
That sounds good. Hey, Joe, first of all, what are you up to? How's life treating you?
Good. Me and my wife and family live out in Colorado now, and just life's treating us well. Great place to be to get outdoors, and we're just I enjoy watching football this year, so it's been good.
How'd you pick Colorado?
We like the mountains, like to ski and hike and fly fish and do all that kind of stuff, so seemed like a good place to be.
Nice. That's outstanding. You played 4 years for the Browns, and you were here mainly during the Hugh Jackson time when you were with Freddie Kitchens. How difficult was it to be on a team that, and even though you got a pretty good run with you, that had been historically in transition?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first 2 years I was there were the lean years. So we didn't get a lot of success for the amount of work we put in, and just being in a constant state of transition, even though Hugh was the head coach, we did have multiple defensive coordinators and multiple position coaches. So you never really got to like feel like your feet were set in the ground. And like when I went other places later in my career, different environments, some environments were very similar to that, always in transition, and some were much more established. And you just feel like the comfortability in the building and people knowing what their role is and what they're supposed to be expected to do every week is just different. And when you're in transition all the time, you never really get that feeling.
Joe, as you watch the game right now too, especially, I mean, Pro Bowl, outstanding in college as well. As you watch the linebacker position kind of emerge and evolve into different things, what are your thoughts on the state of the position right now and the impact it has on the game? Because we're watching JOK right now, and he'll be out this week, but he's playing some great linebacker right now for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, my main thought is I'm glad I'm not playing anymore. but no, I mean, it's become more hybrid safety linebackers, where you get like JOK, like just a phenomenal athlete, not necessarily a big guy. He can hit, obviously he's very physical, but he's not what you'd describe as a thumper, not like a Ray Lewis kind of guy.
Right.
And it feels like linebackers, especially the Will linebackers in a 4-3, or like sometimes the Mike linebackers in like the Tampa 2 schemes, are much more like strong safety type bodies, where like if you took even from 10 years ago, Cam Chancellor, a strong safety, he's bigger than probably 80% of the league's linebackers this day and age. So it's transitioned to be much more defensive against the pass, and I think the defenses have caught up and passed the offenses in that, in the majority of things, because you just see how great quarterbacks and good offenses are struggling to score points this year just because the defenses are so well-equipped to play against the pass.
Joe, with that thought in mind, you know, decades ago, in 3-4, whatever it was, running backs were like the star players, and middle linebackers were the stars on the defense. And now it seems like teams think they can get anybody to play both of those spots. Is that because of the emphasis? And first of all, do you agree? And second of all, the emphasis on the passing game might bet that be the reason why?
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that statement. It seems like there's a much more of a plug-and-play philosophy in terms of running backs and linebackers in the NFL this day and age, where, like, the schematics, it seems like the stars of the teams are now the edge rushers and then the safeties, the guys who make plays in the passing game, who can really disrupt games from that aspect, because there's not teams lining up in pro formations trying to run the ball downhill except for the Ravens. But even they have a very unique scheme for running the ball. It's not traditional pro formations. So there's just not that emphasis on those positions. Like, you obviously still have the marquee players like the Fred Warners and stuff at the linebacker position, but it very much seems like a lot of linebacker spots are filled in with the cheap rookie guys who have fresh legs, who can run around, and just be kind of plug-and-play guys this day and age as opposed to what it used to be.
Hey, Joe, when you reflect back on your days with the Browns, like, what were some of the favorite things you liked about Cleveland and playing for the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, I loved, especially when Greg Williams and that defensive scheme came in, I loved playing for Greg and just the mentality that we had on defense. And, I mean, we weren't successful my first 2 years, so, like, the us-against-the-world mentality was great. And when we came, like, in year three, when we went 7-8-1, it felt like we were winning the Super Bowl just because we were finally seeing some success on the field. We were fighting for a playoff spot. Like, we still had that mentality, and Greg put that mantra in there. And then just being in a city for 4 years in a row, you start to know, like, what you can do. Like, we stayed all year round, so we were there living in Strongsville in the off season, and, like, we had our things that we like to do, the places we like to go. I'd go play basketball with a group of guys on Monday night at North Olmsted High School. So it's just, like, the fun stuff that you kind of get when you are in a place for a while. Those are some of my best memories. And then, like, me and Carl Nassib and some friends, Seth DeValve, would always go to a place called Samurai Hibachi Bar in Strongsville, and just had great fun times at that spot.
And after all that, I know a guy has to make a living, and I know that's the answer. And after all that, after a year in Jacksonville, you went to the Steelers, Joe. What the hell, man? Come on.
I mean, I got traded, so I had no choice. So.
Yeah.
You could have gone to Colorado then.
Yeah, see, I'm not Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden signed with them, so there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm the second favorite Joe. Joe Hayden's the third favorite Joe. That's what we should say.
Boom.
That's great. Hey, how was it being in Pittsburgh after being 4 years with the Browns, and obviously the Browns' biggest rival? I would think after getting over the initial shock that you're now playing for the Steelers, I admire their organization, and I wonder what it was like.
Yeah, I think it's that's the biggest difference is the culture in the building, because they've been there. Like, the coaching staff has been pretty consistent for the last 15 to 20 years, so that everybody in the building knows what they're supposed to do. Like, a bunch of the players have been there for 15 and 20 years as well. Like, when I was there, it was Ben's last year. Like, Cam Hayward, like, TJ Watt was there for 7 years at the time. You got long-standing players, so it's just like the day-to-day football aspect, like, schematic aspect of it was not different at all. In fact, I'd say, like, in Cleveland, we worked harder during the week than we worked in Pittsburgh. But everybody was comfortable in their role in Pittsburgh and knew what they were doing, and that just, like, sense of comfortability on Sundays led to, like, we won a bunch of games in Pittsburgh by 3 points. And, like, in my past experience with, like, the Browns and the Jaguars, like, those are the games we lost on last-second field goals or giving up a two-minute drive at the end of the game. Where in Pittsburgh, we were on the other side of that coin, and it was honestly just, like, the comfortability feeling of everybody in the building knowing what their role was every week during the week at any given time, you know?
You talked about Seth DeValve for a second, your buddy, and then Craig Robertson, Christian Kirksey, Josh Cribbs. There's a bunch of guys going on this cruise, this 5-day Caribbean cruise, March 3rd through the 7th coming up. Your thoughts on that and how much fun that'll be? You'll get a chance to. And if anybody wants to hop on board with that too, you can always go to clevelandbrowns.com and /fans, and you can go find the cruise on there if you want to hop on board with these guys. But that sounds like that's going to be a lot of fun and a pretty good reunion for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of the old friends, and who's going to turn down a 5-day cruise in the Bahamas? Being able to see old friends and hang out with a bunch of rabid football fans, it's going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to it.
It does sound like fun.
I'd hop in a second.
You better be ready to talk football like crazy, though, Joe.
I know. That's what at the end of the year. The good thing is March is like the lull in football season, the off season, so you are ready to actually like speak about it. It's not oversaturated at that point.
If you're going on the cruise, it's meet and greets, it's autograph sessions, it's the alumni hosted group dinners, they're having a beach party, and so all that stuff's available at clevelandbrowns.com if you want to check that out /fans. I do want to ask you about your Big Ten roots there for a second. Your thoughts on how Luke Fickell's doing? Obviously, he was a favorite son of Ohio when he played at Ohio State. He's probably one of my favorite guys to cover when I was in Columbus too. Your thought of Wisconsin football right now and the general overall state of having the Big Ten on the other side of you now where you live in Colorado and seeing all these teams out west that are in the Big Ten now.
Yeah, I think first, like Luke Fickell, I think the Wisconsin program is taking steps in the right direction, but the Wisconsin program right now is very much in flux in terms of since COVID hit, I feel like Wisconsin kind of didn't respond to like the COVID, the ups and downs of everything that followed the, from 2020 on. And we're still trying to find our footing again back where we were in the 2010s, where we were playing in New Year's Six bowl games, the Orange Bowls, like competing with Ohio State for Big Ten championships, and just kind of trying to find our identity again. And I think Coach Fickell is doing a good job in terms of building that identity. But like with all change, like things are going to happen. And when you don't produce immediate success in the field, like you see every week, week in, week out at the NFL, people get fired for like not producing immediate success, even though it is an extremely hard thing to do. There's going to be disgruntled people, but I think once like Coach Fickell, this is his second year, like it's his, gets like his 4-year cycle of recruiting class, and his recruits start to get like juniors and seniors. That's the time to really judge exactly where the program's going. But from for now, like I went back to a game this year when they played Alabama, and in terms of like we lost, but it was mostly because of execution. In terms of like the athletes and the physicality on the field, because I was able to be out on the sideline, it looked like two even teams physically and athletically going at it. They just were able to execute better than us and take advantage of a couple of mistakes that the Badgers had. And then once it snowballed, it got a little out of hand. But in terms of just like, I was impressed with the like physicality and athleticism of the team. So I think once we kind of find our footing under his regime, there's a chance for us to be really, really good. But obviously you have to have time to input your stuff.
Joe, I have 10 seconds. I just wanted to ask you really quick. Jump around is probably one of the best traditions ever, college sports. I think it is.
Oh, definitely. Definitely one of the best traditions. It's like, especially night games, the crowd's going crazy, the building's shaking.
It's awesome.
You're winning. It's great. It's kind of like, I mean, obviously this is Cleveland podcast, but like in Pittsburgh, when the Renegade is going and you're on that team, it's amazing. When you're on the other team, it's demoralizing. But when you're on the other team and you're beating Pittsburgh and they play it, then it's like funny. And so it kind of goes both ways. Like when the other team's doing the jump around, it's a little bit annoying.
I don't know. As an Ohio State guy, it was amazing. Joe, have a great cruise. Thank you so much. We really, really do appreciate your time.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Joe Schobert right there. 5-day Caribbean cruise, March 3rd through the 7th. You want more info, go to clevelandbrowns.com.